Hello and welcome to the Relationship Matters podcast. From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters. Hello, I'm your host, Katie Churchman. And in light of recent events in the US, Faith Fuller is talking about our challenges with talking about race. In this vulnerable and revealing conversation, Faith asks why so many white people struggle to talk about race and interrogates her own discomfort around the subject. How can we stay in this uncomfortable space so that we can start having the kind of conversations that may lead to change? In this episode, Faith is talking about this from her own perspective, about her own discoveries. She's not talking for all white people, progressives, ORSC or CRR Global. She's speaking for herself. And we apologise in advance if anything she says is triggering or offensive. There is no easy way to have these kind of conversations, but we do hope that this discussion inspires some of you to lean into more uncomfortable conversations in your own lives. Edgy isn't easy, but it's essential for our evolution. So without further ado, I give you Faith Fuller.
So Katie, we agree that we might talk about something to do with racism on the call today, just because it's what's up and happening for everybody in the United States. And I felt my own tremendous personal anguish at the situation. I have so many different feelings, anguish, a sense almost of, well, thank God something has kicked us over the edge and we're people are showing up by the thousands in the streets. It's about time. And I've been doing my own self-examination, especially in talking with Black colleagues about next steps for all of us. So I guess I wanted to have this scary conversation about why do many white progressives have difficulty talking about race?
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about it from my own perspective. I always hear, and I agree, whites have to do their own work now more than ever. For me, it has been confusing to even know what that means if I'm a white progressive who doesn't identify with, you know, racism. And I'd like to talk today just about myself, my own discoveries. I'm not speaking for all white people. I'm not speaking for progressives. I'm not speaking for ORSCers. I'm certainly not speaking for CRR Global. I'm speaking for myself. And if my musings about this inspire other people to think about themselves, which is doing what I think of as doing the work on oneself, then great. And if anybody out there is offended by my comment, I get it. There's no way for me or anybody to talk about race without being triggering. It's a triggering issue.
Yeah.
So forgive me in advance if something I say is triggering or upsetting for you. Again, I'm speaking for myself and your experience may be different. So when I say that, Katie, how does that land?
Thank you, firstly, for being so vulnerable and open about this. I already sort of feel the edginess in the air.
Yes.
And we're in different places, so I'm really glad we're finally having this conversation. And hopefully we can spark other people to have these conversations.
Yeah. You know, I want us to be able to have conversations where we can. Something that a Black colleague told me today, actually, which was hugely helpful, is my poor Black colleagues are the recipients of much of what I pour out in my anguish, which is a burden for them, I'm sure, often on top of everything else that they deal with. But what she did say is that I listed all the reasons why I hesitated to reach out to her. And, you know, she said she could see all those reasons. But what meant a lot to her as an individual person of color was that I reached through anyway. I knew I was going to screw it up. I'm going to screw up this podcast. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to show my white privilege. I'm going to be white fragile. I'm going to be all these things. But when I fear all these ways of doing it wrong, I can't do my work and I can't talk to other people about my work. I can't talk to white people and I can't talk to black people because of so many fears and obstacles to the conversation. So today I'm just going to talk about mine. And if it resonates for others, great. And if it doesn't, I get that too. So I've been trying to look, what are the ways in which I stop myself from that reach out to do something more with people of color. And I made a little list. You know, there are so many of them. But one of the things is the very discomfort that you and I are feeling right now, that sense of tension. Talking about race is loaded. We may do another podcast on the impact of time spirits. You know, it's a cultural ghost race. And it's very uncomfortable. So one of the reasons I don't like to talk about race, or, you know, I'll avoid it or come up with reasons why I shouldn't, is because it's uncomfortable. What my black colleague said to me was that she appreciated the fact that I could lean into the discomfort. In other words, I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to say the wrong thing, and I'm reaching anyway. The conversations still have to happen with other whites, with people of color. They still have to happen. We have to push past our fear and anxiety that we're going to do it wrong, because we will do it wrong, reach anyway. So discomfort, just, ew, it's scary. I'm going to, you know, it's stressful. That discomfort is true for everybody.
So are you saying it's better to get it wrong than to not try at all?
Yes. To get it wrong and be open to hearing that it's wrong, because I that actually is a great segue to talking about white fragility. We're afraid of getting it wrong. I'm afraid of getting it wrong. And so if I get it wrong and somebody says, you know, Faith, that's kind of a racist thing you just said, or that's a moment of pure white privilege that you get to hold that feeling right now. If I shrink because I'm a bad person, if I feel shame, I'm going to turn away. Of course I have white privilege. Of course I have aspects within me that are racist. Even though I'm a progressive white person who prides herself on world work, I have blind spots that I was born into. So there has to be a way that we can talk about white fragility, about our pain, our shame, our feeling attacked, without making that the next thing we're ashamed of. Or it's an endless, it's an endless cycle.
I was just thinking that actually, because I was like, because I'm now ashamed to have pain when it's like, it's not really about us and it's not really about me.
I know. So we stop ourselves. There's nowhere I can turn. You know, if I own my racism, people will judge me. You know, if I'm, or I will feel ashamed. If I feel ashamed, I will turn away. If I'm hurt by a comment, you know, a person of color says to me, then I'm white fragile and I turn away. There are all these exits to sticking with it. What I want to do is stay. Yeah. I got it wrong. Thank you. I hear what you're saying. It hurts my feelings when you say that. I'm having a moment of shame here. You know, and so you're going to have to, I'm triggered. Give me a minute to trigger. Yes, I'm white fragile sometimes. Yes, I am. I am white fragile sometimes because it's scary for my self-identity to own that how stupid I can be and blind in my privilege. And I was born into that privilege. I can help to educate myself, but I can't help having that privilege because I was born into it.
Is there a right way to have those conversations, though? I was thinking about it when you said initially, like, you know, I'm going to get it wrong, but can we get it right?
We can't do it right. That doesn't mean we don't still reach out, reach from our gut, speak. Cannot do it right. Be tough enough to sit for the feedback, keep staying, keep moving forward for those conversations, but don't expect to get it right or you'll stop yourself. And I'm a voice of one system. And so what I feel, probably many others, not all, also feel. So I can get the conversational ball rolling and I can stay in the discomfort and keep reaching. Destruction happens when there's a cutoff. When it's totally cut off, we turn away and we can't get back. So it's okay to turn away for a bit, but you have to come back to the conversation. I need to understand myself better. I need to understand you better. I'm going to stay, but give me a moment to recover and I'm going to stay. For myself, as someone who holds herself as a white progressive, owning the ways in which I'm not brings me right up against my own identity as a person. It's deeply scary to own my privilege, and that I'm therefore unable to understand another person's experience effectively. That's right up against my sense of self. And I have to be able to say, it is shameful and scary to own my privilege and ignorance. And if I feel that way as a white progressive, I mean, I work so hard, I do so many good things. And then when I come up against that, and then that come up against fragility in to boot, I have to be able to sit for the honest discussion and hope others will sit with me in that honest discussion. Whites need to talk to other whites about why it is hard for us.
I mean, why do you think it's hard for us? Why should it be hard for us?
Shame. Shame, I feel shame as an individual, that I often make gaffes, make mistakes because of my white privilege, and I feel ashamed sometimes for my white culture and our history. We cannot step away from our history. It's hard to look into a painful mirror, and it's hard to not feel like I can protest even if I think something is wrong. It's all those things are hard. And to carry the weight of thousands of years of oppression as my race is pretty unbearable. It may be true, but it's hard. It's hard. Of course, when I face the largeness of the pain in this country right now, of course, it's hard. That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes me think of those conversations that so often don't happen after someone dies. And I remember a dear friend of mine, her partner took his own life, and I was like, what do I do? And I definitely was not skillful. She said to me later on, she really appreciated the fact that I reached out, because so many people didn't. So many people avoided her because of their pain. And it makes it, without meaning to, it makes it about them. And she just wanted connection. She just wanted, this is shit.
Yeah.
Sorry for my French, but.
Absolutely.
Some acknowledgement, I think that's what I'm saying. It's like just being sort of with.
Yes.
With them,
yes,
in that.
Rather than avoiding it or pretending it isn't there in an artificial situation, which makes you feel marginalized. And I think this is why I want to, when we say talking about doing our own work, I want to start with myself doing my own work, and then I want to start with other white people doing our work, because we have to talk to each other about this. I think that, again, a colleague of mine said to me that whites have to do the work with each other. And then there needs to be healing conversation that happens outside of whites. But first, you have to do your own work. And doing your own work is hard and scary if it's alone. It's hard and scary if you think you're going to be shamed, and we do feel shame and we do get shamed, and that's not even necessarily a bad thing. It's a necessary thing, but we have to move past it. We have to keep moving forward. I feel shame. Okay, you don't have to take care of me because I feel shame. I need to sit with my shame and understand it. But it's also not helpful if I'm too afraid of being shamed, I can't do the work at all.
Yeah.
So tell me about the yeah.
I just, sometimes there's, uncomfortable silences just because you're so concerned about, as you say, being shamed, that then you step away and you step away. And I think that's what we've been doing for, the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We've been stepping away, stepping away, stepping away. And it's time that we stepped forward and started to feel awkward, started to have those difficult conversations, because then we can start to move through.
Yes. That. And starting with ourselves individually and as our own race and so on, starting with ourselves, because, that there are so many complications. When I think about the reasons why it's so hard to talk about race, about why it's hard to talk about white fragility, about white shame, leaning into the discomfort. All of those reasons are a form of privilege.
Of course they are. I didn't think about it like that.
You know, I get to avoid the conversation because my feelings are hurt. Do people of color? No. They live in it in their face every single day. I can avoid the topic. They have to have the talk with their children. They cannot avoid the topic. They're shamed all the time by virtue of the walking down the street in the color that they are in this culture. So my fear of being shamed is a form of privilege. You know, they don't get to turn away. I can. But if I get ashamed about being ashamed over the fact that I'm ashamed, you know, I mean, you can see how it's an endless loop. And this is why it's so hard. It's so hard.
Yeah. You end up in a shame cycle.
You end up in a shame cycle.
And
yeah.
And that helps nobody.
Yeah. Because I can't look at anything I'm too ashamed about. And that's also a form of privilege. And I recognize that. The other thing is, it's impossible to be honest. I need to be able to say into the camera, I have parts of me, not all of me, I have parts of me that had certain traumas in my childhood or whatever that are racist. And I'm saying that right into the camera. Some scary things happened to me. And what happens? We generalize it. So when people say to me, and quite, I think progressives especially feel like, but I'm not racist. I am white privileged, but I'm not racist. I think there's not enough safety for whites to be able to say, yeah, you know, if I'm walking down the street alone in a dark area and, you know, I'm followed by people of color, I'm scareder than I might be if it was white men or white women. That's my racism, that making a decision based on color. Now, I have enough training and education to see it. Go, Faith, that's what's happening right now, but I still feel it. I will always feel that. These are due to traumatic experience I have had. I've had traumatic experiences with white people too. But the way the mind works, it's easy to generalize. And that fear will never go away if I'm walking in a dark alley, you know, alone. And I don't even know if it's partly being a woman, you know. There's a gender issue. It's all intersectional. But I need to be able to say, that's not who I am or how I identify. But we know as people who practice, organization and relationship systems coaching, I have hundreds of selves inside me. At least one is a racist. Now, I have also sides that are hugely passionate about social justice. You know, I have sides that are willing to look at the pain within myself and my own attribution, my contributing to the problem. I have many other selves. That one little piece of me, tiny, that I'm ashamed of, doesn't define me. But until we can own it, we can't talk about it. Oh, I'm not racist. I grew up in a painful, impoverished background. I never had privilege. Maybe. But I don't sweat when the police pull me over for a ticket because I'm white. So
I remember reading about a black police officer who discovered through a test that he actually had a bias against black people. And he started to educate people on that. And that was fascinating to me because it's not just, you're not just going against your own history. We're going against like hundreds, thousands of years of history.
Yes.
And we've got to work really hard to get that into a sort of new shape for the generations to come.
Yes.
And if we all pull together and start to look at this and to start to say, okay, yeah, that's not how we want it to be. We can start to create new patterns, new stories for them to carry on. And it probably won't completely change in this lifetime. But if we think like 20 generations down, maybe, if we start now.
I think what you're saying is that this is going to be, I think, a multi-generational issue. It's been that way for a long time, and I think it's not going to be solved today. But I can open the conversation and create enough safety, work with the people that are your people to work with. You know, my people to work with are white people, maybe sometimes white women, whatever, but they're my people I can speak my experience to. And then there needs to be healing conversations with people of color, but not till I've done my own work. So however this conversation struck you out there, What is your work for yourself?
And how would you suggest people start these conversations, firstly with themselves and then their wider communities?
Get curious about your discomfort. So rather than going to watch TV instead, I can't cope with the news, I'm going to go watch TV, which I do all the time. And frankly, there's nothing bad about that. There's a limit to how much we can do. But look at your own discomfort. Why are we fragile? Why do we avoid owning our white privilege? What are we afraid will happen if we say, I do have little parts of me that are racist? They don't sum me up, but they're there. Why are we uncomfortable? I think there's so much, just in a very simple question, why? What are we afraid will happen? And I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about inside. If I own these things, what will happen to my own identity, others' view of me, and so on? So what are we afraid of that keep us from looking into our discomfort? That's the first thing. Let's start with something simple.
And you're right. When we don't look into our discomfort, that's a form of privilege.
Yes. Yeah, because we can avoid, and people of color can't.
Yeah. Well, let's.
That feels like enough for today. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I want to start having these conversations. Thank you so much. Absolutely. You know, I am feeling on edge, and maybe that's where we need to be. Maybe that's where we need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Faith. If you found this conversation useful, please share it with your friends and on your socials so that more people can join in the discussion. Difficult conversations like this episode aren't easy to have, but they are essential for our development and growth. Lean into uncomfortable conversations. Know that you'll probably get it wrong. There's no right way, because stepping in is the only way we can start to move forward and pave the way for a different kind of future for generations to follow. Views and opinions expressed in this episode were those of Faith Fuller and do not necessarily reflect the policies and position of CRR Global and the Relationship Matters podcast. For more information, check out crrglobal.com. From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters.